Good morning. You hear that? All right, we've got the bell. Must be the top of the hour here. Birds, your way out there. What is that? Well, it's the sound of raindrops getting the glad bag. See, wait, birds, I want to see how you guys are doing. I put the microphone out the window as we always do. And it was raining so hard that I thought we were going to get a short circuit, so I stuck a glad bag out there. You hearing that? And then it blew off. So, stuck another one out. So, birds, you're doing really well today. Everybody's wet, and there's trash all over the yard. Hey, good morning. And if that mockingbird don't sing, I'll buy you a diamond ring. Don't mock me, birds. It's 5 after the hour, and hello, it's Friday, finally. It's Friday, 23rd of October. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show from Chicago on Bleat.network. We have some stuff for you today. I visit with Eldon Ham, who was our first guest. Anniversary week continues. Our very first guest 6 months ago. Eldon's going to join us today. And I spoke to Doug Suley on the phone yesterday, and we will hear that. Doug knows a lot, and we're gonna dip into all that. So, all right, stuff to inform and maybe entertain you today as we get cooking. The news story making the news, and I'm gonna be gentle about this because this is an easy one to misunderstand. I'll read out of the New York Times here to start. Senior Trump officials said this week, as you know, that Iran has been actively interfering in the presidential election. We talked about that yesterday. Intelligence officials now say they are more concerned about Russia, which in recent days has hacked into state and local computer networks in breaches that could allow Moscow broader access to American voting infrastructure. Now, I'm going to be careful about what they were able to do and what they didn't do. We haven't seen the capability of changing any votes. Mostly what we've seen is, I don't know, what I would call sort of smoke and mirror stuff. Anyway, the discovery of the hacks came as American intelligence agencies infiltrating Russian networks themselves. We're all spies. You have pieced together details of what they believe are Russia's plans to interfere in the presidential race in its final days or immediately after the election on November 3rd. Which is a week from Tuesday. Officials did not make clear what Russia planned to do, but they said its operations would be intended to, wait for it, help President Trump, potentially by exacerbating disputes around the results, especially if the race is too close to call. So that's a point to make here. What are they capable of? They're capable of misinformation. Let's move on here. FBI and Homeland Security officials also announced on Thursday that Russia's state hackers had targeted dozens of state and local governments and aviation networks starting in September. They stole data from the computer servers of at least two unidentified targets and continued to crawl through some of the affected networks. Other officials said that the targets included some voting-related systems and that they may have been collateral damage in the attacks. Now, and this is a big now, so far there's no evidence that the Russians have changed any vote tallies or voter registration information. I should repeat that. Nonetheless, the Iranians and the Russians could be paving the way for what are called perception hacks, which are intended, News Baron Aaron and I were talking about this, they're intended to leave the impression that foreign powers have greater access to the voting system than they really do. In other words, the idea is to get people distrusting the reported results of the election. That's what I think is going to happen here. Federal officials have warned for months that small breaches could be exaggerated to prompt inaccurate charges of widespread voter fraud. So again, we're going to have an election here. Do I think it's going to be rigged? I don't think it's going to be rigged. I think a lot of people are trying to rig it, but we have 50 states. We have 50 secretaries of state. This is a very complicated system here. And I think that we need to remember that all we have to fear is fear itself. I will say this. We were hacked a couple of years ago, many of our websites, because they're WordPress websites, by the group, you remember those idiots with the masks, Anonymous? And the first thing that I would tell you is, you know when you have been hacked. It is obvious that you've been hacked. Right now, I can actually go to one of our other websites, and there would be Cyrillic letters coming through, which are probably Russian trolls or something like that. So I'm saying that part of the thing that I think we need to be aware of is that we are aware of what's going on here. And I throw that out. So officials say Russia's ability to change vote tallies nationwide would be difficult given how disparate American elections are. The graver concern is the potential effect of any attack on a few key precincts in battleground states. So, all right, forewarned is forearmed there. So, yeah. We have a message to the Russians right now. You guys eat it, right? Happy birthday to you, Al Yankovic. Weird Al has a birthday today. He actually does. 61, I think. I think so. So, yeah, exciting day here. 14 after the hour. Tell you what, let's visit with Doug Suley. Called up Doug. And Doug, gee whiz, among other things, is one of my oldest friends. He was the first producer that I had in Chicago radio. He is the webmaster for the operation here and an expert on all kinds of stuff, and he's very politically savvy. I asked him about the lawsuit, the antitrust lawsuit involving Google, and we talked about that. I just saw you said, well, you don't search for something. You go Google that. Well, yeah, all right. It's become a word. Google, this is desktop now, has an 81.54% share, followed by Bing. When's the last time you binged? I'll bing that. 12.4%. Yahoo with a big 4%. And then in mobile searches here, Google, 94.92%. Yahoo with 2.10%. And DuckDuckGo rings in with 1.66%. So anyway, I asked Doug about all this and why The feds were cracking down right now, and here's what Doug told me.
The heat now is coming down because they refuse to propagate this, you know, Hunter Biden bullshit that, you know, they've been trying to spew. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I got a text yesterday from, I won't say who, but let's just say this person has a job within the U.S. government. And they sent me a screenshot of their phone with a non-DOD update that said, you know, that the Department of Defense was saying that they did not believe that the stories had originated from Russian sources. So I don't know if that means somebody on the inside of the government is compromised now. And I mean, I've been worried about that for a couple of months now because of
the people that listen to us know what we're talking about. There was a thing that came through various sources, including Rudy Giuliani, that Hunter Biden, who's Joe Biden's son's laptop, had somehow wound up in a repair shop. And somebody looked at it, and it was, bup, 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 bup. I mean, it's a...
The repair shop of a blind Trump supporter.
It's a pretty good story.
3,000 miles away from where Hunter Biden lived.
that this surfaced, and Rudy Giuliani, and God only knows who else is... but what I was going to say, though, you know, there have been a million Hunter Biden stories over the past 20 years. There have been a million internet hoax things that have happened on the internet, you know, and certainly in 10 years, that have sort of gone unanswered, right?
Did you see the Rudy Giuliani thing this morning with the Borat movie?
No.
he's in the new Borat movie.
What's his name? Sasha
Baron Cohen.
Yeah. I saw him.
So he's got Rudy
doing something. No, go ahead.
Yeah. So Rudy's in this like hotel room, and the woman, the actress, is playing Borat's daughter in the movie, and so she starts coming on to him, and then he leans back on the bed. And his pants are undone, and he starts playing with himself.
Rudy said that I remember him talking about that. He was pretty quick. He realized something was amiss.
Oh, yeah. If you read the story, he really realized it a lot. It wasn't until Sacha Baron Cohen comes into the room and says, "She's too young. She's too old for you. She's 15.
Oh, man.
And then he gets up and runs out of the room.
So what do you think? We're all predicting the end of the everything here. What do you think Rudy's life is going to be after the election or after the inauguration? Or where do you think he's not immediately institutionalized?
Well,
winding up.
I mean, if we're lucky enough to wipe this old shit stain from our collective shoe in 2 weeks, you know, my guess is that these people are just setting themselves up for, you know, it's all entertainment now. We don't have politics anymore. So, you know, the rumor is that Trump is basically setting himself up to, like, you know, borrow a bunch of money, purchase OAN, and he and Rudy and all these other turds are going to create their own, you know, ultra-nationalist media empire. I mean, I think where we're headed now is, you know, you're going to have a Democratic Party that's going to be, you know, the regular left-of-center people, and then the far-left progressives that are constantly going to be warring with the center. Then you're going to have a new party that's going to develop from all these disaffected Republicans who still believe in the rule of law, and they believe in morality and character and, you know, all the things that, like, I actually just downloaded this new John McCain book this morning. I haven't started it yet. It's a 24-hour listen, so, you know, it's going to keep be busy for the next couple of weeks, I figure. But, you know, those people, so, you know, we're talking about RVAT, Republican Voters Against Trump, the Republicans for the Rule of Law, the Bulwark, Vote Vets, you know, all of these organizations that are basically kind of coordinating with each other now. So there'll be some sort of a Rule of Law party or a Bill of Rights party or a Party of Lincoln or something that comes, you know, from these disaffected GOP people. And it'll, and I think it's going to be, you know, center right. I don't think it's going to, it's not even going to entertain the other stuff. And then you're going to wind up with this fringe party like they have in France with Marine Le Pen. You know, it's going to be all conspiracy riddled and, you know, QAnoners and, you know, that, you know, believe anything. And, you know, probably wind up accounting for 18 to 25% of the, you know, right wing vote. Like, you know, like it's kind of happening in a lot of European places right now. I mean, it's either that or, you know, this, you know, finds a way to, you know, with Russia or some sort of a digital, you know, scam takes the country down in 2 weeks. And, you know, because I think no matter what happens, he's going to say that he won. And even if it is an overwhelming landslide, let's say Biden pulls off a 400 to 440 EC win, you know, there's going to be a third of the country that never believes it. Or, you know, they're going to say it was completely stolen. It's all fake news. You know, it's all driven by the deep state and the media and blah, blah, blah. And they'll never, ever accept the fact that, you know, Biden won the election. And where do they go? I mean, where do those people go? They don't have a home, but the GOP gave them a home, you know. And so, you know, there's going to, I just, it's not going to disappear. You know, the crazy uncle thing isn't going to go away. Even if we do eradicate Trump, we're not going to eradicate Trumpism because it's going to be there for a long time. You know, I mean, you can see some of these people that are trying to think past November 3rd, all of a sudden, you know, acting like they have balls or a spine, you know, like the Cornyns and the Sasses and all these people, but they lashed themselves to this thing a long time ago, you know. That's why I think places like the Lincoln Project and stuff, you know, because, I mean, some of the people I know that are on the far left are like, you know, the Senate Joe tries to pass anything that's really progressive. The Lincoln Party and these people are going to, you know, repair and these other places, SAM, they're going to go after, you know, Biden. But, I, you know, I've been following Lincoln Project since they started, December of last year. And last week, I don't know if you saw, you know, they were on 60 Minutes a week ago.
Let me ask you about this. I referenced them the other day. So the charge is, not for me, but, and I get their stuff, and I see, we posted some of their stuff. Lincoln Project, operated among other people by George Conway, who's a conservative lawyer, quote unquote. Kellyanne Conway's soon to be ex-husband, whatever. Anyway, they buy a lot of airtime and torture Trump by running anti-Trump stuff on venues at EC, right?
On Fox News at EC, right. Yeah.
So some ask, well, why give your supporter your money even? To buy a time on Fox? That was the question. That's what they're doing. So what about that? Do you have a feeling about that? You've heard that?
That's one piece. That's only one small piece where they're, you know, deliberately fucking with his head.
Right.
Because, you know, that when they released that Morning in America ad, they did it deliberately to hit on that, you know, time slot, and Trump went nuts, and within a day they had raised like $2 million or something.
It is working.
But if you follow them, you know, Mike Madrid, he's the former California Republican chair, and he's the data guru guy. He's kind of like a Mike Murphy, if you're familiar with Murphy. Murphy is really, you know, one of the best old school pollster kind of guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so Madrid is the, you know, the pocket pen protector guy. He's the data guy. So they have, you know, they've done super granular analytics, you know, drilling down literally by precinct to swing votes because, you know, they originally started this with the concept of what's called the Bannon line, which is a 3-4% line. In other words, if you could throw 3-4% of the vote over, that's how they feel like, you know, they pushed Trump to victory. And so the Lincoln Project's goal was peel off 3-4% of the Republican vote, and Trump has no way of winning. Just this last week, Madrid said he thinks their analytics tell him that they've pulled 10-12% off, primarily women, because they've gone directly after the females, you know. So the big win for them has been the ads that they've done that appeal to, you know, the females, which were the, you know, like they just did one about a week ago that was about daughters, and, you know, just showed clips of Trump saying, you know, horrific things to women, and then, you know, it kind of ends like, you know, is this what you want for your daughter?
And, no, I saw that. So I think the Lincoln Project, you could accurately say that they're participating, as all are, not all of us, but certainly I am in the show, is in what probably, we hope, will be something of a Democratic landslide.
And they're not just trolling Trump, is my point. Like, if you look at where they're spending the money and they're putting the effort, you know, like, again, just in the last few days, they've produced ads that are specific to Pennsylvania, to Iowa. In fact, this is morning, or, you know, late last night, they put out, you know, a morning in Iowa. They put out a morning in Pennsylvania yesterday. It's kind of the same, you know, it's the same copy, the same imagery. It's just a different state. And, you know, again, they've been going after really, really specific demographics, like really specific. I think they were late to the game on the Hispanic stuff, though. That's one big problem throughout the country. You know, as Latinx voters are a big, big voting bloc right now. And I think in 2016, only like 32% of them voted, and it's supposed to be double that, you know, this year. And,
well, your point before about where do the disaffected Republicans go? I mean, they're going to have to go to the Lincoln Project are pros. I mean, that's one thing. They're media pros, and they're the money on the screen. And I think again,
but they're never going to work again either. That's the thing. Like, they're never ever going to work in Republican politics. So where do they go?
Yeah.
And they had a Zoom. I always go to the Zoom conferences. They're doing another one tomorrow afternoon, and the one last week, basically they're saying, you know, we're in it for the long haul. 2020 is great, and if we can, you know, get Trump out, that's the goal. But, you know, we're sticking around because any of these guys that are up for election in 2022, we're going to be gunned for them. They want to go after anybody that hits their, you know, career on Donald Trump and take them out and never let them escape the fact that they, you know.
Well, this is California, by the way, on the phone here. I think the figure is there, is it 11 Republican held Senate seats that are playing, and the Democrats only need 4. So what about that? Again, back to the Lincoln Project and the Republicans, how bad do they want to make it on themselves as a party, whatever that means?
What's the question? How does the Senate look like it's stacking up?
Start with that. What about that? What's your view?
Well, it looks like it's, you know, it's going to be a 50 or a 51. Everyone seems to be pretty sold on that. And the chance of it being 54 or 55 even, you know, but you've got these wishful thinking places like Kentucky, you know, like just this morning another poll came out that shows McConnell with a 9-point lead over McGrath, you know. Yeah. I mean, she really legitimately doesn't stand a chance, you know. So, and in fact, Mike Murphy yesterday, he was interviewed by Bill Kristol, and he said, you know, sorry donors, but Kentucky's Kentucky. You know, it's never going to go for a Democrat. The governor's race was a bit of a fluke because the guy was so hated. Of course, McConnell's really hated too, but I don't know. I've talked to people that are on the ground in Kentucky, and they seem to feel that McGrath has a much better, you know, standing than, you know, the polls are showing. They think that she's, you know, within a point.
My friend Murray lives in Louisville, and he is hardly a right-wing guy. He actually registered Republican just so he could vote against McConnell in the primary whenever that came up last time. So, to your point, he is not locally popular there. But, I'm going to let you run here. So, back to my initial question. So, this Google lawsuit, is that just... What is that? Are we going to read about that, or is anything going to happen there? What is that supposed to do? Is that to tell the voters that everybody's pissed off at the social media giants?
Well, I think if they're successful with it, it'll probably mean that a lot of the services that are offered, you know, would need to be broken up. But, you know, you look at any company right now, Amazon, you know, is definitely one of them. Apple, you know, because you've got these companies that are dominating a particular space, and yet they're also selling, you know, cloud services and security services and all the things that go with it. So, you know, Google as a search engine or a search dominant, you know, I think that's really efficient. You know, I don't think it's something that they'd be able to pull off legit. I just don't see it.
To show that they're anti-competitive? I guess, I mean, whatever the statistics, they have an 82% share, I think, on searches. But that doesn't mean that DuckDuckGo is prevented from getting their business, right? I mean, it's hard for me to...
Yeah, and I don't even use Google anymore, quite honestly. I mean, we do use it because it's part of business, you know, so we have to gauge everything we do by what is, you know, legitimately coming up in Google. Personally, I started using DuckDuckGo, you know, in the middle of the year, and I will never look back because I don't want the tracking.
It's the same reason I
turn off my camera when I'm on hold with the New Yorker in my Zoom call.
DuckDuckGo is fun to say.
I'm sure that we're going to, just like Google is now basically a verb, you know, in the nomenclature, there'll be the tubin is going to be a verb soon.
What's it going to
do in a tubin?
I'm going to go, and I'm going to go to DuckDuckGo and have them search Hunter Biden laptop, and we'll see what pops up. So, all right. See you well.
Just don't search Jeffrey Tubin Zoom.
Okay. Okay. All right. Be well. I'll call you soon.
Okay.
Red and white, blue suede shoes. I'm Uncle Sam. How do you do? Give me five. I'm still alive. Shine or rain, wave the flag, pop the bag, bark the boat, skin the goat.
Wave that flag, wave it wide.
paycheck. Son of a gun, better change your act. We're all confused. What's to lose? You can call this song the United States Blues.
Wave that flag, wave it wide and high. Summertime.
Grateful Dead. Is it time to evoke the hippies? Here's somebody who actually knows who the Dead were or are. Eldon Ham joining us. Eldon actually was a member of the Grateful Dead for a while. Were you not, Eldon? Or was that
a member of the actual band or the Deadhead? Or both?
Well, we know that you have many you have many stories to tell. Eldon is the first guest on our show 6 months ago, old friend of mine, Eldon Ham, H-A-M. He is our attorney general. But he hasn't had any sleep because he was up all night watching the debate, and the excitement has prevented him from relaxing his blood pressure. You did watch the debate last night, you told me.
Yeah, I did. And the excitement was more like staying awake trying to come down from it. As you said, it gets the blood pressure going, can't really like turn it off and like doze off.
I successfully avoided them so far. The word was that it was a little more sober and sane than the first one was, and that they didn't have to anesthetize Trump or anything like that. What was your take on it?
Yeah, your conclusion is right. It was saner than the other one, but it's a low bar, and you grade it on a curve, right?
Yeah.
It would have been the nuttiest debate in the history of debates, except for the other one.
Right.
Trump was more subdued. He seemed almost drugged, how low-key he was.
Yeah, almost drugged. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and as time went on, he got a little more energized and started talking over the moderator and Joe and not as much as the other time, but he could not help himself. There were some openings for Joe that he maybe could have taken better advantage of. For example, when Trump said, "Nobody knows wind like I do," Joe should have said, "You got that right."
I understand they were duking out at length over Abraham Lincoln and some other stuff. Let me ask you this, though. If I'm Joe Biden, why do I do this? Did this do anything but give Trump people more Trump? That's what I don't get. Did you hear the sounds of people's minds changing across the country?
No, I didn't. I did hear some cheers from probably the Trump crowd. But I suppose Joe does it because he's trying to be professional, show the people he's for real, and not afraid to do it. So why not? And usually Trump hurts himself as much as anything in these things. Last night, in a real world, he would have hurt himself more. In this world that we're in right now, he probably just treaded water and stayed about the same.
Yeah. What's your sense of the election? I'm looking at like 10-point leads. You believe that?
Yeah, well, I'd like to believe it, actually. I heard somebody discuss some differences, I think yesterday, where all the pollsters and the pundits got it wrong. We saw that Hillary was ahead of Trump until right at the end, and then it kind of flipped. They were watching more the national totals and extrapolating that would just translate into the Electoral College. And now the pollsters are looking very closely at the state. So you can see where those trigger points are, and those swing states are doing fairly well for Joe.
Yeah.
There's a few that aren't, but the fact that they're swing states at all is astonishing.
Yeah, no, I saw that.
For
yeah.
Example. Yeah.
Yeah. As we prepare for, we hope, the end of the Trump administration here. So what about packing the Supreme Court, their counselor? People should know, students of history should know, that FDR tried to do that way back when, and it just didn't go over very well. So I'm not even sure how this started. Does anybody think that Biden really wants to pack the Supreme Court? What do you know about this, and what do you think about it?
I presume Biden wouldn't prefer to pack the court. And actually, the semantics perhaps are important, because the court, as we know it right now, got packed by subtraction.
Yeah.
And then slowly added to. So you can make a case that manipulating and packing are they kind of the same?
Yeah.
Because this one's packed. It's fabricated, if you want to call it that. But yeah, FDR tried it. I think he wanted to go to 15.
Yeah, I mean, that would again. This is a big. This is like overturning Roe v. Wade, only worse. There's a lot going on there to redrawing the idea of the court. But go ahead.
It's a little hard running against a candidate with no shame at all.
Yeah.
Because they will just do anything. Whereas here we are, rational people, thinking about, how will this go in the future? Is this as bad as trying to undo Roe Wade? We're trying to put some thought into it. Whereas our president just bulldozes through, and he creates a mess, he just denies it and moves on. I did hear, and I didn't actually realize this, but Lincoln added a member. It was up to 10 for a while.
Yeah.
So it has bounced around, and there's a whole lot of precedent for it, especially in the earlier days. So it's not like it's an outrageous thing to do. If they did go from 9 to 11, someone actually commented yesterday that it still wouldn't radically shift the court. It would just balance it better so that it would give the court more credibility, perhaps. The decisions might have more weight, therefore. If Roberts, for example, were the swing vote, or Roberts and one other justice flipped back and forth occasionally. If it's just a railroading court to follow the agenda of the last 4 years, it will lose its standing, and I do worry about that.
I was trying to make sense of all this, and in the post-Trump era, which I hope we're in, I was going to play a clip here. I was talking to our producer Sparks this morning. We play some movie meltdown moments, and we were looking for a good lawyer movie meltdown moment, and it occurred to me that the lawyers that people hear about and know about, and the movie people, none of these people are in real life. We see the lawyers, what I'm talking about? I mean, the lawyers right now are like, the plotting sort of, let's keep the system sort of, from moving ahead. You have any sense of that? Do you and your fellow attorneys get together and say, let's keep Alan Dershowitz off the air for a while, or
maybe somebody should.
What about that?
As a matter of fact, he has been off the air for a while.
Yeah,
maybe somebody did.
Yeah, yeah.
People get their lawyer experience largely from television shows. You see more real lawyers now, but you don't see them doing anything other than just sort of pontificating. The real work goes on behind the scenes, a little arm twisting, a little politics here and there. That kind of stuff. There have been some lawyer shows that are pretty good with it. The Law and Order series that went for 20 years would do part of the show in the courtroom, right? You see the investigation, the arrest.
Yeah, God, that was on for 20 years.
it was 20 years.
Oh my goodness! All right, yeah.
You see all that in an hour, which isn't very realistic. But when they actually got to things like cross-examination and some of the courtroom depictions, they weren't all that bad. If you don't expect too much from it. So sometimes you can get up the learning curve a little by watching those things, and sometimes they're pretty far from the truth. There was an old show a long time ago called L.A. Law.
Yeah,
they had a lot of little vignettes of like oddball cases and disputes with your neighbor and dog bites and odd stuff along with big things. And it did give you sort of a sense of it, too. It was simplistic, but not so bad that it wasn't both entertaining and at least partly accurate.
I love that show. I love that L.I. Law. But, you know, but Eldon, you know what I'm talking about. You've been a working attorney. That is a law firm, right? It's not always murder trials. It's people getting bitten by their chihuahua.
Sure.
Yeah. So, but I mean, that kind of brings me back to my feeling of how people now view attorneys, and the ones that they see on TV connected to anything are not. I don't think anybody that they see, you know, in TV shows. But do you have a sense now? I mean, there must have been a time when people of your, you know, your peers, people that became attorneys, you had a view of what it would be like to be a lawyer. You know, are young people now, are they like, I don't think so. What about it? Because you teach law students, so
sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sure, I see a lot of energized faces and hopeful faces. That most of law is a lot of grudge work.
Yeah,
it's if you're doing real estate deals, it's a lot of paper and it's a lot of sifting and a lot of I's dotting and T's crossing, that kind of stuff.
Right.
Even litigation. The last time I saw a number on this, it's been a while, but only about 4% of cases ever actually go to trial.
I'm sorry, what percentage?
4.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and what happens usually is there's a lot of juxtapositioning, a lot of depositions, a lot of prep work that tends to move them in the direction of settlement. So as those cases move forward over a couple of years, it starts to become kind of obvious who has a decent case and who doesn't. And a lot of cases settle either near the beginning when everybody wants to avoid all the mess, or right at the end when they've done all of that grunt work and it's about to go to a jury trial and everybody says, whoa, I don't think I want to do this.
Huh.
So they settle. But to actually get a case filed and go to trial is only a number like 4%.
Wow. It is, and you never hear this in the Supreme Court, do you?
Mr. Crispin, you are out of order.
You're out of order. You're out of order. The whole trial is out of order. They're out of order.
Ellen, don't you think that's... couldn't we liven things up just a little bit, having Al Pacino handle some of these cases for us?
That actually reminded me of a law movie that, in its own weird way, is actually quite good. My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Played for laughs, but you know what? If you went down to an out-of-state rural courtroom and had to kind of fight your way through the local politics and everything,
sure.
Pieces of it would be a lot like that.
Yeah.
And yeah. I know they played some of it for laughs, but, you know, it just felt right.
Yeah.
I've been in situations like that.
Sure.
One of them was actually even a pretty significant criminal case in Kankakee County once a long time ago.
And
it's kind of like that. I remember in that case the prosecutor invited us back and we're talking to the prosecutor and the judge, and they had like a rake and a pitchfork in the corner with blood on it, and there was evidence for a different case.
Oh no.
And we're down there just talking in judge's chambers. But it had some My Cousin Vinny moments, I think.
Your Honor, what is a grit? Is what, yeah. That's,
that, how do you know? Grit? Right.
No, I love that. I love, and Marissa Tomei. Wow, what a great movie.
She was a delight.
I know. Hey, you were so cool for coming on again. Thank you very much.
Oh, my pleasure, as always.
Eldon Ham with the stories about being a lawyer, and we need more of them. So I hope that bloody pitchfork is moved.
we need more stories or more lawyers? Oh, probably not the latter.
My best to you and to Carla, the other half of the hams there.
Oh, much appreciated.
I'll see you in court.
Yeah, not if I can avoid it.
Take care, ma'am.
Yeah, you too.
Bite my tongue, bite my time, wearing a warning sign. Wait till the world is mine. nations I vandalize. Cold in my kingdom size. Fell for these ocean eyes. You should see me in a crowd. I'm gonna win, there's nothing to hell. Watch me make them bow. One by, one by, one. One by, one by. You should see me in a crowd. Silence is my favorite sound. Watch me make a bow. One by, one by, one. One by, one by, one. Count my cards, watch them fall. Blood on a marble wall. I like the way they all scream. Tell me which one is worse, living or dying first. Sleeping inside a hearse.
I don't dream.
You say, come over, baby. I think you're pretty. I'm okay. I'm not your baby. If you think I'm pretty. You should see me in a crowd. I'm gonna run, there's nothing to hold. Watch me make them bow. One by, one by, one. One by, one by. You should see me in a crowd. Your silence is my favorite sound. Watch me make them bow. One by, one by, one. One by, one by.
Billie Eilish, you should see me in a crown. About five before the hour, we got to say hello to our producer here before we let her out of the studio here. If I can bring her on. There she is. Sparks.
Hello.
All right, listen, we got it's another rigged game show. And what I'm going to try to do here, I've got some, if I can put my finger on the right thing, I wanted to get let's see here. That's not it. All right. Stand by. See, I had some exciting music here. I was going to make this work. Hang on. See, this is all very time sensitive here. Let's see here. I was going to give you kind of a few seconds to get each of these things here. Let's see here. Here we go. Okay, here we go. All right. Let's see here. There, okay. Now, I'm not sure why I did that. All right, here we go. You ready? All right, I'm gonna give you a chance. This is symbolism. All right, over 8 countries have this bird on their flag.
Bald eagle.
An eagle. That is correct. All right. This bird comes out of the ashes to live again. Which one is that?
Phoenix.
That's it! All right, one more, then we're going to run here. All right. These birds scavenge from dead, rotting meat, and they are all black. What are those birds called? You know the birds there?
Raven.
Raven! Oh, you got it. All right.
Raven or crow, yeah. Okay,
you have won the Al Yankovic record of your choice. We'll play it Monday. This widecast produced by Natasha Rodriguez.
Awesome.
See ya, Sparks. Have a good weekend.
You too. Have a good weekend.
I see trees of green. roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I think to myself.